We live in very uncertain times. Political chaos like I've never seen in my lifetime, that's for sure. Nuclear threats rising around the world, and a pandemic that seems to have no end. And I ask you all a question today, a serious question. Are you afraid to die? Do you fear death? I've come to a simple conclusion. How you see death determines how you live your life. What you see on the other side of that doorway called death determines how you live your life on this side of the doorway. So what happens when a person dies? Do you think it'd be an important topic for the church to understand and to reveal to a world that's in darkness? What's on the other side of that door? That's the purpose of this two-part series that begins today on the fear of death. I read recently a magazine by Dr. David Reagan, in which he said that the most popular article that his ministry ever produced was this topic, the fear of death. Now that kind of hit me, because he's produced I don't know how many articles, and he says this is the most popular, the most intriguing to his audience that he's ever produced. So after reading that magazine, I decided that I would try to put together through the Holy Spirit, two sessions to deal with that same question. Are you afraid to die? I used some of Dr. Reagan's material to help me, but mainly the Holy Spirit, so that the church might understand that knowing what's on the other side of that door is a powerful thing for the church. Because in essence, you know something that the world doesn't know. You know what's on the other side. And there's power in knowing what's on the other side. We need to understand what the Bible says about death, not what the world teaches about death, because the world's got its own message. The unbelieving world's got its own message, but we need to understand, and that's the purpose today and next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that most people, listen, this is profound. The Bible teaches us that most people live their entire life, whether they know it or not, live their entire life secretly in fear of death. It's like a bondage. It's like dragging a ball in a chain behind you, because even if you don't want to admit it, you're afraid of this ultimate thing that's lurking behind the door called death. Makes you a slave. It's a form of bondage. And because of fear, because of this fear of death, you know what people do? They suppress the topic. They suppress the issue. They don't want to talk about it. They naturally suppress the topic of death because it makes me a little uncomfortable. So you don't talk about it. It's almost this idea that if I never bring it up, it'll never happen. Today, next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about it. We're going to expose something. We're going to expose the power of death. And I'm going to tell you up front, it's powerful. And I'm going to ask you, who can stand against its power? Because it's powerful. I've watched it. When it comes, it has great power. Who can stand against the power of death? And I want you to understand that there is a real power, and it is real powerful, and it's called death. And there is a real powerful word that tells us about the power of death, what's on the other side. So we're going to begin this journey together in Hebrews 2:14. I'll start there again next week. It's the foundation verse for these 2 weeks. Verse 14 says this, because God's children are human beings. We're made of flesh and blood, right? Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son, Jesus, also became flesh and blood, just like us. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power. Here's this power. Only by dying could Jesus break the power. Who's got the power? The power of the devil, who had the power of death. God the Father, Jesus the Son, in their heavenly scene, are not subject to death. In the heavens, God the Father, Jesus the Son, they're not subject to death because they were not human. They were not in the flesh, not yet. But something happened. God became flesh. The Word became flesh. And when he took on human flesh, when he became like one of us, born of a woman, he did something. He subjected himself to death. He subjected himself to a power called death. Now, he was not under that power in heaven. He was not subject to death in heaven. Satan had no power over him in heaven. But when he became a man, when he took on human flesh, he subjected himself. God subjected himself to human death. This was God's plan from the beginning. He would overcome death and the grave in this moment by the Word becoming flesh, by the Son of God becoming flesh. He would overcome death by death. You need to understand something. I need to understand something. He didn't do it for himself. He was eternal. He had no beginning and he has no end. He's always was, is, and is to come. He didn't need to do this. He didn't do it for himself. He was eternal before taking on human flesh. He did it to do something. He did it to save us from a power that was greater than us, the power of death. No human could stand against the power of death. When the power of death comes to you, as a human, in the flesh, you can't overcome it. It's too big. It's too powerful. So where does the power of death come from? It is the power of Satan. It is very real. It is very powerful. And on your own, on my own, you cannot overcome it. It will take you. And the Bible says only by dying, only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who possessed the power of death. It is a great power held by a very powerful person, the devil, called Satan. Death is a great power, and that power, I want you to understand something, has an owner, a source. It belongs to Satan. He is the cause of death. He is the origin of death. Jesus said Satan was a murderer. From the beginning, he's a murderer. What do you think killed Adam and Eve? What killed them? What happened? When Satan came on the scene, he possessed a power, and that power manifests itself in death. And he gave he took the power of death and placed it upon Adam and Eve and all of their descendants. So in light of today's earlier topic, where does abortion come from? Satan is a murderer. From the beginning, he's a murderer. Child sacrifice, where does it come from? You saw in the video, child sacrifice is not new. Where does it come from? What is its origin? Who's doing it? Satan. Do you doubt that? Well, to doubt that is to doubt Christ himself, because I'm going to read to you in John 8:44 what Jesus says about this topic. And by the way, he's talking to some religious folks. He's talking to some religious folks that have fallen victim to the lie of Satan. Verse 44, Jesus looks at these religious folks and he says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things that he does." He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. That's why he's a murderer. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. I want you to understand, he is the origin of death. He is the origin of murder. He is the origin of lies. He hates the truth. It all comes from him. It is a great power. So Jesus, verse 45, "So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me." Naturally. Why? Because this flesh doesn't naturally lean toward God. It naturally leans toward the adversary. So you just naturally don't believe me. "Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling you the truth, why don't you believe me?" So what did he just say? Satan is a murderer. Do you believe Jesus? He hates the truth. And you know what the truth is? Satan is a murderer. If you align yourself with him, and by the way, he has no truth in him. That's why he's a murderer. If you align yourself with the absence of truth, you reject the truth. Let me just make it real simple. There are people who call themselves people of faith who support abortion. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. I don't understand. I cannot comprehend it. How? He's a murderer. Where does murder come from? Jesus says, "Why don't you believe me?" He's a murderer from the beginning. Those who belong to Satan are his children. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Those who belong to Satan, his children, live under the power of sin. It is a great power. The power of death. It is a great power. It is. I acknowledge it. And they're under a murderer's curse. If you belong to Satan, you're going to get what Satan is going to get. And he's under the murderer's curse. And those who belong to him will get what he gets. But those who belong to Christ live under the power of the resurrection, the only power that can overcome sin and death. The curse was lifted when Jesus became the curse on the cross. In fact, let me read the next verse, verse 15. "Only in this way," what way? The cross. Jesus on the cross. "God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory." Why? So that he might die. "Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." Only in what way? Only through the cross. Death conquered death. Everybody dies. So why so much reluctance to talk about it? Why so much reluctance to address the topic? I don't even like talking about it. Death doesn't just come to old people. that have lived out a full number of years. No, that's not how it works. Death comes, and when it comes, it comes in great power. In Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to be 80. I thought when I read that, I thought, well, that's real encouraging to anybody here in their 70s. Thank you, Terry, for that piece of good news. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80, but even the best years are filled with pain and trouble, and soon they disappear and we fly away. Where are you going? We fly away at some age after the 80s, maybe. Where are you going? Do you know? We currently live in a world that is filled with sin and death. And they are powerful. Satan, who has the power of death, is currently the reigning power, prince, ruler of this world. And you know, there's a lot of people in the church, you still don't get this fundamental truth. Satan is the current power, ruler, prince of this world right now. Where do you think abortion comes from? Why is this number so big in contrast to COVID-19 and nobody wants to talk about it? Satan is the right now current reigning power prince of this world. Death will be the power. And I'm going to get into this in detail in a little while. Death will be the power that overcomes death. And when you grasp that, death will be the power that overcomes death. So in John 12, 31, Jesus reveals both the power that will overcome death and who's in charge of this present world. Verse 31, Jesus says, "The time for judging this world has come. When Satan, the ruler of this world," Jesus, the Son of God, is calling Satan the ruler of this world. "The time for judging the world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. And when I am lifted up from the earth," what do you think he's talking about? "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." What will overcome this great power of the ruler of the world? Verse 33, he said this to indicate how he was going to die, the cross. Satan is the power of sin and death. Satan is why people die. Satan is a murderer. Jesus is the power of forgiveness and the resurrection from the dead, lifting the curse by becoming the cursed. The Bible says that cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree, and Jesus was hung on a tree. The death of Jesus on the cross, when he said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." This event will conquer the power of Satan. It will conquer the power of sin. It will conquer the power of death. Death will overcome death. Death is real. Death is everywhere. Young, old, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. Everyone dies. The only two guys that have escaped death that we know about are Enoch and Elijah. And I'm convinced that Enoch and Elijah are previews or shadows of a generation in human history that will be Enoch's and Elijah's, and they too will not taste death. They will escape death. Those who are raptured when the trumpet sounds will escape death. They will never die. And when you get this, because let me say this. Do you believe that? Do you believe one of these days in the future there's going to be a loud shout and the voice of the archangel and trumpet blast and a series of events are going to start taking place in rapid succession, and that you and I might very well be the generation that experiences that person? We might be the Enochs and the Elijahs. Now, the reason I make a big deal out of that is what you believe about that determines much about how you live your life. Let me show you. Are you afraid to die? 1 Thessalonians 4:15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns, right now that'd be us, right? We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And first, there's going to be an order to the sequence of events. First, the Christians who have died are going to rise from their graves. Then, second, together with them, those Christians who have died or rising from their graves, then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There we will be with the Lord forever. Now listen carefully. There are two groups of Christian believers in this rapture scene. Two groups. One group has experienced a physical death, and their body is buried in the earth, and they will rise to meet the Lord in the air. They get to go first when the trumpet sounds. When I say this stuff, I'll be honest, I just wonder how many of y'all actually believe this stuff. I do. I can't help it. I just do. It just goes in my head. The other group, so there's one group that their bodies are in the ground, there's going to be a trumpet, and their bodies are going to come out of the ground and rise, literally, and meet the Lord in the air. Whoa. The other group are the believers that are still alive when the trumpet sounds, and they'll not have to taste death. They'll be taken directly into the presence of the Lord forever, and they're going to be transformed in a flash in the twinkling of the eye, and they're going to get new flesh, and those coming out of the ground are going to transform, and they're going to get new flesh, and we're going to meet the Lord in the clouds, and there we'll be with the Lord forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah. So I'll ask you, are you afraid to die? Which one of those scenarios does not apply to you? I'll give you a minute. Which one of those scenarios does not apply to you? If you're in the ground, you go, you get a new body, you're with the Lord forever. If you're standing upright, you go, you get a new body, you're with the Lord forever. Which one of those scenarios does not apply to you? Are you afraid to die? You see how you see death, how you see the other side of that door determines how you live your life right now. So what happens? Let's get into a little detail. What happens when a person dies? What happens to the soul? Where are the souls of those believers who have died? In this category, some believers are buried, right? Where are the souls of those believers that have died? Those who will be raised to life when the trumpet sounds, they're going to come out of the graves. The bodies are going to come out of the graves. Where are the souls? Let me be more specific. Where's the soul of the Apostle Paul right now? Right now. Where's the soul of my believing grandmother and grandfather right now? Where are they? Do you believe graves are going to open up and dried up bones of believers are going to take on eternal flesh and rise to meet the Lord in the air? Do you believe that? Let me give you a physical example. Where I live on Corinth Road out in the county is just over the hill from my home church, Corinth Christian Church, where I met Jesus for the first time. And there's a graveyard out in behind the church in which I've bought several lots. And one of these days, they might plant me in one of those. Maybe God won't need to, but we'll, just in case, I got some property out there. So when my kids were growing up, I so much believed this scripture. When my kids were growing up, I would take the kids out in the yard over on the west side of my house, and you can see the graveyard way, way over the hill. You can see it way over there. And I would tell my kids, one of these days there's going to be a loud shout and a voice of the archangel and trumpet blast. And because we're still alive, we don't go first, we go second. Because we're still alive, you're going to be able to look over on that hill, and there's going to be graves open, and people going, Mama! He's scaring us again. Not really. I told my children, I want them to know the truth. One of these days, this is really going to happen. But I'm only referring, the only ones that are coming up are the believers. Those not believers, the grave has taken them. And the grave won't let them go. There's a great power. They're not rising. Not on that day. Not on that day. So, I want to read to you from the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to ask you, when I read this, do you believe this? Because I'm trying to lay this foundation of biblical truth to show you what's on the other side. Either through the grave or through the trumpet and you're still alive. The same thing happens. Ezekiel 37 verse 1. The Lord took hold of me. This is Old Testament. The Lord took hold of me and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to the valley, filled with bones. That's dead people. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. And they were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up bones. That means they've been there a long time. And then he asked me, Son of man. That's what God called Ezekiel. I always found that interesting. He calls Ezekiel son of man. Son of man, can these bones become living people again? Whoa. Isn't that a good question? Oh, sovereign Lord, Ezekiel replied, you alone know the answer to that. You know why he said that? Because death is a great power. People can't make bones alive. Oh Lord, only you know the answer to that. And then he, the Lord, said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and I'm going to make you live again. And I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. And I will breathe into you and you will come to life. And then you'll know. And then you'll know I'm the Lord. Yes, let me make something real clear. This is a prophetic announcement of the resurrection of the nation and people of Israel that we experienced in 1948 in this generation. But it has the same eternal application for every one of us in this room today. Can those bones of believers in the graveyards live? Will he breathe breath of life into those bones one day? Do you believe the graveyard scene from Ezekiel? I'm asking. How you see death, how you see this scene determines how you live life. Whether you're going to live life in bondage to the fear of dying or you're going to live life in freedom because death has been overcome. Victory is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. It determines how you live your life. Well, that's Ezekiel's scene. Let's go. I'm going to ask you, I'll just give you a short version. What about Jesus's graveyard event? Do you believe this one? John 11, 25. Jesus looks at Martha and he's looking at us today and he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live, even if he dies. What? Even if he dies, it doesn't matter. He'll live. Even if he does. And whoever lives and, that'd be us right now, believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Four words. Jesus raised four-day dead Lazarus after saying those words. He walked over to four-day dead Lazarus after saying, I'm the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies, even if he dies, even if he dies. I'll show you. And he goes over and says, Lazarus, come out. He gave physical evidence of his divine power. But here's the question. There's a second part to that. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. What do you mean by that? Never die. Today, what about the believers, Paul, my Christian grandparents, in the graves? Aren't they dead? Aren't they dead? Come on. You said, Jesus said, you'll never die. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. But aren't they dead? Do you remember a couple weeks ago I preached a sermon called Perspective? And I told you that I have a perspective about graveyards. Here's my perspective about graveyards. I can go to the graveyard of a loved one, a Christian loved one, and I can go to that tombstone, and I can go to that pile of dirt, and I know that that body was put in there because I was there the day they put the body in there. But I can look at that and say, but I know they're not there. I know they're not there. Their body's there, but I know they're not there. No, they're not there. That's my perspective. But what about an unbeliever? Are you afraid to die? Do you fear death? Graveyards, they frighten you? You see, how you see death, how you see what's on the other side of that door determines not just the future, it determines right now. It determines whether or not you're going to live a life of freedom or whether you still live a life of bondage, regardless of what Jesus has done. How you answer that question has great influence on your life. So what happens when a person dies? What's on the other side of that door? Where are the souls of those believers that have died? If I go to the graveyard and I say, but they're not there, then where are they? Where are the souls of those believers? Notice I say the word believers that have died. Those who will be raised to life. The bodies that will be raised to life when the trumpet sounds. What does the Bible say about this huge, troubling question? So let's get into one more level of detail here. Here we go. Does the soul sleep in the grave? Soul sleep in the grave. Have you been taught soul sleep? A lot of people are taught in church soul sleep. Is it in the Bible? No. No, it's not. Yes, the Bible uses the word sleep to describe death sometimes, but it is not a reference to soul sleep. In fact, the Bible teaches us that our spirit, our soul, never loses consciousness when we die. Do you know that? Do you believe that? Do you think when someone dies, the physical body, the breath of life goes out, that the soul, the spirit of that person, goes into some unconscious, fade to black, non-existent state, waiting the trumpet, waiting an event somewhere, just like unconsciousness? Who told you that? Where'd you get that? This next scripture is from the Apostle Paul. And understand something, he met the risen Savior. And he was taken up into the third heaven. And what did he see and what did he learn about death during those experiences with the Lord? Listen carefully to this statement from the Apostle Paul. And let's answer the question, does the soul sleep? The soul of a believer, does it go to sleep? Does it go to some unconscious state waiting an event in the future day? Philippians 1:21. Paul says, for to me, living means living for Christ. And dying is even better. What? He's obviously not afraid to die. Dying is even better. How could dying be better if I'm unconscious? How could dying be better if I'm asleep for 1,000 years? How could dying be better? Let me give you another one. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, Paul says this, we are fully confident and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies. He's obviously not afraid to die. I'd rather check out of this earthly flesh. I'd rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we'll be at home with the Lord. So whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. You see, Paul was fully confident that when they cut his head off, and they did cut his head off, he would immediately be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, serving him, pleasing him, not asleep. Not asleep. No, not asleep, but away from the body in the presence of God. At home with the Lord, not sleeping, but living. Yes, listen, the body of Paul, the body of the believers that have experienced a physical death remain on the earth, but their souls are taken into the presence of God. They are not asleep. They are very much alive. Jesus reveals this truth in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, 22. This is Jesus telling the story. He says, finally, the poor man died. Lazarus died. He's talking about a physical death. Lazarus died and was carried by the angels. Listen carefully. Lazarus died and he was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and he was buried. The poor man's body was not carried by angels into the presence, the bosom of Abraham, but his soul was. You think it's carried into the presence of Abraham to sleep? So that he can go to sleep? So here it comes. Oh, I wish the church could grasp this. You are not your body. You are not your body. You are the soul, the person inside that body. That's why I can go to a graveyard and say, he's not there. Because when I say he's not there, I'm referring to the he that really is he, which is his soul, not the flesh that's there. He's not there. You know, just as a side note, that's why it's so crazy. That's why it's so crazy to judge somebody or to measure somebody by their outward appearance. It's insanity. You know, it denies the spiritual truth that you and I are actually the person on the inside. We're not the person on the outside. So when you look at somebody and you judge them because of their height or their weight or the color of their skin, do you know how foolish that is? It's got nothing to do with who they are. Who they are is the person on the inside. Whether they're big or little or dark or light, the person on the inside is who they really are. And by the way, I need to tell you this. We're all going to get a new body anyway. We're all going to get a new body anyway. Whether you really got attached to this one in this life or not, you're going to get another one. I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I tell you what, I'm convinced mine's going to be awesome. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to it. And this knee right here, it's not going to hurt anymore. Are you afraid to die? Do you fear death? How you see the promises of God on the other side of that door will determine how you live your life, whether you're free or whether you're still in bondage to the slave. You're slave to the fear of dying. So what happens when a person dies? Where are the souls of those believers that have died? Those who will be raised to life when the trumpet sounds. Jesus came to set us free from the fear of death. It's called faith. And only in this freedom will you experience what the Lord refers to as an abundant life. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. The Satan has no power because I'm not afraid. We put our faith, our trust, and our hope in Jesus and the promised resurrection of the dead. So I'll ask everybody a question I actually asked a couple of weeks ago. When you look into 2021, when you look into the future, in the midst of all the political chaos and pandemic and all the crazy things in the world, what do you see? What is your perspective? What do you see in the future? Death? Life? Hopeful? Hopeless? Slavery, glorious freedom. What do you see? See, Christians are supposed to see the world totally different than unbelievers. Do you see Jesus standing with you, or do you see Jesus standing against you? Which one? What do you see? I want to read Hebrews 2, verse 9, and ask a question. Is this you? It can be you. Is this you? Verse 9. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he, Jesus, suffered death for Terry Cooper, I see the whole world different. He suffered death for us. He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. So now, Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same father. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same daddy. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters, and I will praise you among your assembled people. And he also said, I will put my trust in him, that is, I and the children God has given to me. Is that you? Is that you today? Is that you? I see Jesus. I look at this next year, I see Jesus. And I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid of what's coming because I just see Jesus. Either through the grave or through the clouds, either way, I get the same end. Do you know what the very next verse in that Hebrew scripture is? The next one, verse 14. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And only in this way could he set free. Only in this way could he set free. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So are you afraid to die? 65 years after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. 65 years after Jesus ascended from this earth and took his place in glory at the right hand of the Father. 65 years later, Jesus returned to this earth. Do you know that? Do you know about that? 65 years after Jesus' departure, he returned to reveal himself to his beloved apostle John, who was at that time an old man living as a prisoner on an island called Patmos. 65 years. Do you know what Jesus told John? This is where I'm going to wrap up today. You know what Jesus told John? Do you know what Jesus told John to tell us? Here it comes. Revelation 1:17, John said, when I saw him, it had been a long time. Now he's old. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and he said, don't be afraid, John. Why? John's in prison and he's about to die. Why shouldn't John be afraid? Don't be afraid, John. Why? I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. Don't be afraid. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. Don't be afraid, John. I'm the first and the last. Don't be afraid, John. I'm the living one. Don't be afraid. I am alive. I died. Yes, I died, but now I'm alive forever and ever. Don't be afraid, John. I hold the keys to death and the grave. I took them away from Satan. I took the power from Satan away from him. I took his keys. Don't be afraid, John. I now have the power to overcome sin and death and the grave. I took the keys. And if you belong to me, you don't have to be afraid anymore. So are you? You don't have to be. If you're in Christ, do not be afraid. This is what it means to experience freedom, liberty. You're not afraid. If you are not in Christ, I need to say this today. If you're practicing some religion, but you don't know Christ, if the Holy Spirit is not in you, if you have not been born again of the water and the Spirit, that's what Jesus says. You got to be born of the water and the Spirit. That's what he says. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you've been born again. If you have not been born again, I can tell you something today. You have much to fear. Because I love you enough to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. If you are outside of Christ today, you have much to fear because sin, death, and the grave will take hold of you and it will never let you go. Never. But fear can be a wonderful motivator. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Fear can be a wonderful motivator. Today, the living one offers you life in his name, but you must die. Nobody wants to say it out loud, but it's the truth. The living one offers you life in his name, eternal life in his name, but you must die. The Hebrew scripture says only by dying could Jesus break the power of Satan. And only by me dying can I receive the power of Christ. And what do you mean dying? I'm not talking about physical death dying. I'm talking about dying to myself. I must die to myself to be born again. I cannot be born again until I am willing to die to me. Until I'm willing to surrender my life into his hands. No conditions, no pre-negotiations, just white flag up the pole, I surrender. I must die. And if you're struggling, if you're in a room today and you're struggling with this one point, I want this freedom that you talk about, preacher. I want this hope that you talk about, preacher. But I don't want to let go of this world. I don't want to let go of control of my life. Then hear this word from Jesus today. Matthew 16:25. Jesus, it's a warning. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and he will judge all people according to their deeds. And now you know the truth that could set you free. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to get into great detail about what happens to believers and non-believers when they experience physical death. And what's going to happen when Jesus comes on the last day. So I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. And I'm telling you something today. This is true freedom. When you're no longer afraid to die, you're not bound by the power of Satan. Satan has power over death. But when Jesus dies for you, that power is gone. And he holds the keys to death and the grave. And he took them away from Satan, which means Satan now is powerless in my life. He's still there. There's still a power. But Christ is in me. Today, are you afraid to die? I don't want to die. I don't want you to die. That's not what this is about. Do you fear death because you're unsure about what's over there? What's over there has already been announced. Is that you? I'm going to pray. Father, may your Holy Spirit do your work today in our hearts. For no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. So, Lord, I ask you to draw, that you would convict, that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts. And may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. The invitation's open. Let's stand.